You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
A group affiliated with Al-Qaeda is claiming responsibility for the attack at the Radisson Hotel in the capital city of Mali. New York Representative Peter King tells Fox News that Al-Qaeda is actually competing with ISIS.
I'm not surprised there is this rivalry between Al-Qaeda and ISIS, and I can see why an Al-Qaeda affiliate would want to come in right now to show that they can also take the front pages.
There's a report of more than 25 deaths in the terrorist assault. There's no word of an all-clear yet at the hotel. Six Americans who were at the hotel are said to be safe with the help of U.S. Special Forces. Cold, nasty weather is hitting Chicago. Forecasters say the Chicago area could see more than a half a foot of snow today. The storm that's set to barrel in will pack wind and cold temperatures. It's due to move in soon after the evening commute begins and lasts through Saturday morning. A winter storm watch is in effect for nearly 20 counties in Illinois and Wisconsin. This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Get your plenty card at Exxon or Mobil and start earning points at lots of places.
So I get points for filling up at Exxon?
You sure do.
What about getting coffee at Mobil?
Points.
Streaming TV shows on Hulu?
Definitely.
Points on my AT&T wireless bill?
Yep.
Buying soap?
At Rite Aid.
Buying you a birthday present?
Points at Macy's.
Visiting your parents?
No. You get marriage points.
Oh.
Exxon and Mobil are the only fuel brands that are part of Plenty, the rewards program that lets you earn points at one place and use them at another. Join Plenty for free through a participating Exxon or Mobil station today. Terms and limitations apply. See Plenty.com/partners for details.
Russia is giving the U.S. advance notice of its airstrikes in Syria. The two countries agreed on air safety protocols in October, but ruled out closer cooperation or any joint coordination of targets. The Pentagon said today Moscow has notified the U.S. before carrying out at least three separate airstrikes since last week's terrorist attacks in Paris. The nation's largest health insurer is threatening to pull out of the federal health care exchange. United Health Group said that low enrollment and high usage is costing the company millions of dollars. The company downgraded its earnings forecasts and blamed the Affordable Care Act for giving individuals too much flexibility to change plans. United Health has already committed to offering plans on the health care exchange in 2016. The insurer has one of the lowest cost plans available in the U.S. Tesla Motors is recalling Model S sedans to check for a possible seatbelt problem. The worldwide recall covers all 90,000 Model S electric cars. Owners of the luxury sedans are being asked to bring their cars in for an inspection of a bolt that attaches the seatbelt mechanism to the body of the vehicle. Tesla says no accidents or injuries have been reported. Hyundai also has a recall. That car company is recalling over a quarter of a million cars. The company announced a brake light problem in 305,000 Sonata midsize cars in the 2011 and 2012 model years. A problem with a brake pedal could cause the brake lights to stay on even when the driver isn't stopping. In some rare instances, the cars could shift out of park without the brake on. We're on the web at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce.
Good afternoon. Today, can you believe it's the Friday before Thanksgiving? In fact, we won't be here next Friday. We'll all be sitting around groaning and moaning after what should be a very nice Thanksgiving dinner. I'm your host, Pat Smits, and I want to bring you up to date on weather before we start the program. actually. Tonight should be partly cloudy. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Should be a nice day. High of about 50 degrees. But for this time of year, that's a great temperature. Tomorrow night, there's a slight chance of showers. Probably not. But if it does shower, it could continue into Sunday morning. But then it will be mostly sunny, but only about 40 degrees. That should be about 49 degrees for the high. And then Sunday night, again, partly cloudy. And into Monday should be mostly sunny, but the high is only going to be about 43 degrees. So that seasonal temperature is getting a little colder. Make sure the plants are inside because we can certainly get some freezing weather. And in fact, Monday night it should be around 27 degrees, so that would be freezing. And it's time, if you have any plants outside, to get them in. Well, our program is It's the Law, and today I'm hoping to have a guest a little bit later. I'm not sure because it's an attorney, and you know we're notorious at not being able to get places on time. Some of us are, at least. So I'd like to bring you up to date on some of the headline news stories in New Jersey. And one of the cases recently is that a woman who died of mesothelioma, excuse me, I don't know how I can say that in light of the fact that, let's back up. My name is Pat Smits. I'm an attorney. I'm an attorney here in Huntington County, but my practice is all family law, all matrimonial cases. So what I do on this program is try to bring you up to date on some of the things that's happening around the state, cases, perhaps things for those of us who are interested in legal news, legal issues that are coming up, and of course one of the main legal issues now, at least at the legislative body, is the attempts to keep refugees out of our country and the concerns. And certainly we can all be concerned, but some of the statements now really we have to think about. Most of us came from families who at one time or another were in fact immigrants to this country. And some of the things that are being said now about people from Syria who are escaping horrendous situations. We're grouping everyone together. And I guess the fact that I'm Irish, I recognize what happened when the Irish came here, when the Italians came here, and of course most recently when Latin Americans came here. And we also have to be very careful because the there are many, many Muslims, citizens in this country. That's a religion. And to persecute people because they have a religion that may be somewhat different than ours, is really awful. And I can't imagine what's happening to some of the children and some of the comments that are made to children. So let's all remember that. We're here. Yes, there are bad apples. And let's take a look at some of the horrible things that have happened. And it certainly hasn't been from immigrants or people from other countries. But remember Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, some of the horrible McVeigh in Oklahoma, the kid who killed all of the children in the school in Connecticut. So let's, really take a look at ourselves when we start to try to just do something that can only be considered prejudicial, when we're trying to blanket attempts to make everyone look suspicious. But in any event, let's get back to the program. And the program in today, just wanted to talk about the preemption. And what does that mean? Well, there is always a question about whether state law or federal law applies, and whether federal law preempts a state. So there was an estate of a New Jersey woman who died of mesothelioma. It's on television all the time. And this was possibly caused by physical contact with her father, who worked for a rapid transit system. And, he would come home with asbestos-covered clothes, and so that she was suffering from something that is a result of being exposed to asbestos. However, she cannot sue the transportation system in state court. An appeals court has ruled because federal law preempts. So that just simply means that any litigation in this case has to be brought in federal court. Doesn't mean that she's prohibited from bringing the litigation. It's just that it'll be in federal court and not state court. Well, I guess we all need to make sure that our police departments are acting properly, because the town of Westfield agreed to pay $1.15 million to settle a federal civil rights suit by a couple who claim that the local police entered their home without a warrant and used excessive force when responding to complaints about a late night gathering. So obviously there must have been something going on, or they would never have agreed to pay that kind of a settlement. There is also, if you've heard about the Pfizer case, the attorney representing the proposed class of former Pfizer employees argued before a federal appeals court this past week on Wednesday that they were entitled to severance benefits when they transferred to another employer. So that if anyone is interested in that case, go on to the Third Circuit and take a look at the case against Pfizer. Also, all the football fans, where NFL is back in the news, where attorneys representing dozens of former NFL players in the nationwide concussion litigation argued in federal appeals court yesterday that the league's $1 billion settlement left certain players suffering from brain trauma without compensation. So we'll see what that opinion says. I mean, obviously, $1 billion sounds like a lot, but apparently in this case, the lawyers for the players are arguing that it's not sufficient. The appeals court upheld a $3.5 million default against a New Jersey attorney and others involved in a failed real estate investment fund. And so that judgment has been, in fact, upheld. There was and I'll talk a little bit more about this case in because I think it's an important case. And Judge Jones indicated that the Prevention of Domestic Violence Act can be used by victims of elder abuse to obtain restraining orders against their abusers. And this was a case of first impression, and I will talk more about that case. It's an important case. It really is. There's also a federal judge in Camden who granted class certification in a case that claimed Public Storage, Inc. required New Jersey renters of storage space to sign contracts that include unlawful limitations on the company's liability. So if you have rented a unit from Public Storage, Inc., you should be interested in that case, because there is a class action now pending. Unfortunately, often that means that people don't get much money out of it. So there's some real controversy over some of these class action suits. Now, there is a company that made asbestos products in the 1980s, and they should have anticipated that it would be sued. And therefore, their destruction of dozens of boxes of related documents in the 1990s was spoilization, resulting in a sanction, according to a New York judge. In other words, if you have a company and you can anticipate that there will be a lawsuit, you cannot destroy records. And this was an important case. Obviously, asbestos. Even in the 1990s, they should have been aware that they needed to keep these records, according to this judge. The bankruptcy court in Delaware addressed summary judgment filed by a debtor, and the case in this case, AFA Investment versus Trade Source, filed a preference complaint. So the AFA investment filed a preference complaint. And this, then there was a summary judgment motion filed by the debtor. So the debtor said that there was nothing to go to trial, that it could be decided on the papers. And so the debtor filed a preference complaint against TradeSource, Inc., seeking to avoid and recover a $25,000 payment made by the debtor to them. And that payment, which was within the 90 days of the debtor's filing bankruptcy. So in this summary judgment motion, the debtor alleged the transfer at issue was a preference and as such should be avoided under the bankruptcy code. So any business people, you have to be very careful because, in fact, if one of your creditors files bankruptcy, there are strict regulations with respect to payments that they have made within a certain period of time and whether or not there was a preference. In other words, someone who's filing bankruptcy can't agree to give can't preference and give preference to some of the creditors over others. And if that happens, the bankruptcy court can pull that money back. So in this case, the debtor recovered $25,000, and that payment was within the 90 days of the debtor's filing bankruptcy. So the debtor went into bankruptcy court and alleged the transfer at issue was a preference and therefore needed to be avoided under the bankruptcy code and means that the creditors would not get the $25,000. Very significant, obviously. Now, there was a U.S. Court of Appeals decision for the Third Circuit, which is our circuit, and that revived a $26 million Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement dispute between a hospital and an insurer, but then kicked the case back to the New Jersey State Court. So in other words, they revived the dispute and then sent it back to state court to have it decided. There was also a federal lawsuit recently filed against a law firm by a paralegal claiming she was passed over for promotions, alleging discriminatory practice. And that case is pending. Now, there's always a question. I talked about class actions. And the question about class arbitrations is also an issue. And the question is, can a claim on behalf of a class of plaintiffs, a class of plaintiffs be handled effectively and fairly in an immigration, I've got immigration on the mind. Let me go back and see if I can get this out. Can a claim on behalf of a class of plaintiffs be handled effectively and fairly in an arbitration proceeding? And the apparently anecdotal opinions about that subject are expressed freely, but they often have questions and questionable evidentiary cases. So it's not answered, but that's the question. Now, we also talk about safety in the workplaces, and certainly we know that the 20th century in America was marked by more injuries and death from unsafe workplaces than from wars. And, you know, looking back, the 1911 New York City Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire was the poster child incident that demonstrated the need for serious reform. And that's one of the reasons why workplace injuries are down. It's much safer to work in them. And there are certainly regulations that require, require lots of things to help safety. But anyone who recalls that fire was a tragic fire where doors were locked and the women could not escape. And I can't remember the number who died, but it was really astronomical. So, what is happening with the New Jersey lawmakers? Apparently, they've begun discussing whether it should be legal or whether there should be a push to legalize marijuana use and possession. So, we certainly know our governor is against it. There's a lot of controversy on both sides of the issue. What about, do you have a Kia that has an engine defect? And apparently the Kia Motors of America has agreed to mediate a putative class action concerning engine defects after a federal judge denied the company's motion to dismiss. In a civil rights suit over the New York Police Department's surveillance of New Jersey Muslims, if you haven't heard about that, you haven't heard much news lately. Apparently, the concern is now that with the terrorist attacks in Paris, it could make it harder for the plaintiffs to get a fair trial. And this is, you know, not only are the attorneys involved in the case concerned, but other observers are. In other words, you know, is it proper and how proper is it for the New Jersey Muslims to be, you know, the surveillance that has been going on by the New York City Police Department? And I think that public sentiment would probably now favor more surveillance. So, you know, are they going to be able to get a fair trial on the issue? Now, DNA testing is also in the news. Governor Christie has signed legislation that will increase the availability of DNA testing to criminal defendants who claim they were wrongfully convicted. So this has always been very controversial, and there are many people who have spent years languishing in prisons who were innocent, and only after DNA testing many years later was that proven. So that is certainly, I think, good news. It's really good news. I mean, obviously, anyone who wants DNA testing, if they are guilty, you know, they're really, you know, cutting off their nose to spite their face or whatever that term is. But it is certainly a concern. And what happens is that many, and it's usually men, who spent years in prison, thereafter, you know, they get out, their lives are ruined, their families' lives are ruined, and depending on the state, they are able to collect pretty significant damages that we, the taxpayers, pay. So, let me be back after a couple words from our sponsors, and I want to thank our sponsors. So we'll be back after we play a couple of these breaks.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Visit njweightlossgroup.com to schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so call 855-464-THIN. That's 855.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on huntonchamberradio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future. how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Well, welcome back. The program, It's the Law, talking about some of the legal news. And that is what I've been doing. I haven't even been talking about some of the recent cases. Another thing in the news recently this week is that the Walmart stores insurers are claiming the retail giant hastily overpaid to settle a suit over the June 2014 crash in which a Walmart truck slammed into a van carrying comedian Tracy Morgan and others on the New Jersey Turnpike. So I guess that that battle is what they're saying is heating up. We'll see what happens with that one. But I don't know why. Well, I do know why. The insurance company now is saying that they don't want to, pay what they apparently was a settlement. So one of the things that, talking about this heated debate over immigration, it's really taken political stage, but apparently the thought is that it's unlikely to have much impact on the practice of immigration law in New Jersey itself. So don't know what that means other than they don't think that the recent federal everything that's been going on and with the governors, that should have much of an impact here. Now, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit has declined to intervene in a case where a divorcing father argued it was unconstitutional for a state judge to require him to pay half the cost of the court-appointed attorney for his two children. So the U.S. Court of Appeals, now the second, this is not the Court of Appeals in New Jersey. It's the Court of Appeals in New York. But interesting case. So at least father cannot argue that a court requirement that he pay money for an attorney representing his children is an unconstitutional taking from him. So now the fantasy sports companies, I guess I should save this for the sports guys, but the country's two biggest daily fantasy sports companies filed court papers in New York last week asking a judge to stop the state attorney general from shutting down their operations and rule on the legality of their businesses. So apparently they're questioning whether or not they are illegal gambling. Actually, that would be interesting to get some people on our sports guys or the law program to talk about that. Now, there is another interesting case, because one of the things that we have to have in New Jersey to bring a lawsuit is standing. So who has standing? It has to be someone with a direct interest in the litigation. So if your neighbor sues somebody that you have no interest in the suit, you can't go in and stand in for him. But this was an interesting case because the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit, which is our circuit, has ruled that a real estate developer seeking to build a Wegmans supermarket has adequate standing to bring an antitrust claim, an antitrust suit, claiming that the owner of a nearby ShopRite store engaged in sham litigation to prevent the entry of a competitor. So this is interesting. So we're talking Wegmans and ShopRite, and I'll have to look into that to see just where was the future site for the Wegmans. But in any event, the developer, who of course would stand to make lots of money if the developer was able to build the Wegmans and whatever other stores they were going to build. And so that in this case, Wegmans didn't have to file suit. The builder was able to file suit. Now, apparently, one of the managing clerks at New York Simpson & Thacher & Bartlett is the lone remaining defendant in a New Jersey-based criminal case. And he admitted his role in a lucrative insider trading scheme. So maybe he's not, because if he's admitted it, and that may be the end of the case. One of the things that we should always be concerned about is the fact that everything is so slow as far as getting judges appointed. It's been a year now since U.S. District Judge Luis Felipe Restrepo of the Eastern District of Pennsylvania was nominated by President Obama to fill an emergency vacancy on the Federal Appeals Court bench. So even though he's only one step away from Senate confirmation, the process continues to drag on. And I can't tell you the number of times where we've had delay after delay after delay in the state court because we don't have enough judges. And unless you're in the situation, unless you have legal fees running up because there's no time for the judges to decide all the cases, and their workload is just unbelievable. But nobody seems to care. Nobody seems to be pushing the governor. So if anybody can, I mean, let's push to get our judges not up to speed, but to have enough judges as the number we are entitled to. Certainly we need another judge in Hunterdon County. We need another full-time judge doing family law in Hunterdon County. So what about some cases? Well, there's a case approved for publication on November 11th in the field of taxation, which might be of interest since it deals with the trustees of Princeton University. And in this case, the presumption of a validly the presumption of the validity given to an assessor's original tax assessment does not extend to determinations of exemptions from local property tax. And so in this case, the court also found that the claimant of an exemption always bears the burden of proof, regardless of who is challenging the exemption. And in this case, therefore, the defendant's motion seeking to place the burden of proof on the plaintiffs, who are third-party taxpayers challenging the exemption granted to defendant Princeton University, was denied. So there, somebody by the name of Fields and other people were challenging an exemption granted to Princeton University. And so the trustees of Princeton filed a motion, but the court found that the claimant of an exemption always bears the burden of proof. and therefore Princeton University had the burden of proof in this case. There was also an appellate division just recently, I think that, I'm hesitating, but again, I think it was last week, and it was construing the Solar Act, and the court affirmed a decision of the Board of Public Utilities that the applicant's application could not be considered under the statute because it concerned a solar project to be sited on property which had been valued, assessed, and taxed as farmland. And so, therefore, the application would be governed by a different statute. And in addition, a certain subsection did not apply to the application because the property was not a contaminated industrial or commercial site within the definition as set forth in the statute. So that case actually was approved for publication, so it would be able to be cited, and it will be. So the apparently the Bridgegate criminal defendants, Bridget Kelly and William Baroni, have complained to a federal judge that the state government and federal prosecutors are holding back discovery in their case. So the saga goes on. Now, there's also a case that called into question the tax-exempt status of hospitals, and that really was against Atlantic Health and Morristown, and that settled with the owner of the operator of Morristown Medical Center agreeing to pay the town $15.5 million. So that's pretty significant for Morristown, obviously. So that their tax-exempt status was questioned, and obviously a settlement was reached where they agreed that they should not have the exemptions that they were claiming. Well, there's two law firms, Newark and West Orange, along with a partner at both firms, former partner at both firms, have agreed to mediate a dispute with the Newark Watershed Conservation and Development Corporation over their role in advising the agency, which is now in the process of dissolving following investigations into its spending practices. So apparently two very well-known law firms are going to be going into mediation to see if they can resolve whatever the issues are. Now, mediation is not arbitration. Arbitration, there would be a decision by the arbitrator that is binding. Mediation is let's get together and try to work things out, which often is very successful. So now the U.S. Department of Justice is seeking to stop United Airlines from expanding its operations at Newark Airport, arguing that doing so would stifle competition. Well, we all know that, or we all know if we weren't under a bushel or if we've taken any flights, that United took over from Continental, and so that they're the major carrier at Newark. And so apparently the justice wants to stop them from expanding because it would stifle competition. Frankly, I think anyone who takes and flies out of Newark regularly would say that it has already stifled competition. Now, the courts are still trying to figure out what to do with social media in discovery and privacy rights of those whose profiles are in question. And apparently, especially in the last year, the argument has centered on two main issues, authentication and where the expectation of privacy stops. In other words, you know, if you take certain pictures, if you, you know, do certain things, take videos, where do you think How do you think that can be stopped? I mean, what do you think? What is your expectation of privacy in those cases? And of course, if something isn't authenticated, that is a real problem. Let's say that there is a video and it looks like you are the person in the video. Well, if somebody doctored it, you know, what obligation is there to try to authenticate it before it's broadcast? Now, apparently a chemical company and its former vice president have been hit with three price-fixing suits following the executive's guilty plea on an antitrust conspiracy charge. And I think I did mention that, in light of the burgeoning business of daily fantasy sports, New Jersey lawmakers are considering how to regulate them. Apparently they won't move, at least it's not likely that they'll move until the Federal Appeals Court decides whether states can legalize sports betting. So that's a question of whether they can legalize sports betting. Now there's also, there was an approval of a sale over an IRS collection. So the U.S., again, the Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit, our circuit, recently affirmed approval of a sale of substantially all of the assets of acute care hospital operator LifeCare Holdings pursuant to the bankruptcy code. So they're, you know, going to have their assets sold. Well, let me come back in just a minute, but I'll, after playing a couple more news, not the news break, but a couple more sponsored commercials from our sponsors, at least notes from our sponsors.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, I'm back for the next few minutes on the program It's the Law, and just talking about some of the recent cases. And one of which I think is very of interest to me, because I have a similar case, and what happened in this case is the defendant appealed from an order denying his motion to terminate his alimony obligation and denying his request to vacate his alimony arrears. Now, the court found that he had provided the court with sufficient evidence of his health problems to show he lost his life insurance and is unable to be gainfully employed. Moreover, the court noted that his sole income of Social Security is not enough for him to continue to pay his bills, pay alimony, and pay his arrears. However, the court declined to terminate alimony or vacate the arrears. The court instead lowered his alimony obligation from $750 a week to $400 a week, and allocated $50 towards alimony and $350 towards arrears. Well, then he filed an appeal, because that's what the trial court did. And the appellate panel found that the court failed to make adequate findings of fact on the record, and the trial court failed to directly address the issue of the defendant's retirement. And the court lowered his alimony payments from $750 a week to $450 a week without offering any reason for the amount chosen. And also, in reducing his alimony payment, the court recognized his annual income of $27,000 was not enough to cover his expenses and alimony. At the same time, the judge ordered him to pay $20,640 of his $27,000 income, leaving only $530 per month for all of his expenses. And no analysis was provided supporting the basis of his ability to pay this amount. And despite the fact that there were findings that he was unlikely to become reemployed given his advanced age and deteriorated health. And further, the judge ignored his right to retire in good faith at age 72. So, what did the appellate division do? Well, they did the correct thing because the trial judge had not made findings of fact. However, when they reversed and remanded the case to the court for a plenary hearing, the problem is, where is this case? Because if it's in Hunterdon County, unless the appellate court said that it had to be done within a certain period of time, it will languish. I recently had, not recently, over a year ago, had almost the same situation. I was retained by a senior citizen. He has been paying alimony for over 20 years. He was unable to pay alimony that he had initially agreed in the judgment of divorce because his income had been reduced, substantially reduced. So that he had arrears that had accrued because he had not come back to court. And so when we did file the motion, the trial judge actually did the right thing. The trial judge, did the right thing, because the trial judge looked at everything and said that it was a good faith motion. However, we needed a plenary hearing. Well, and so that the support, the alimony, continued pending the plenary hearing. Well, that most people would say, well, great, you got your plenary hearing. The problem is it's over a year later, and he's still paying the same amount of alimony. 50% of his Social Security is going to alimony to a wife who works, full-time employed, could also be getting Social Security benefits herself, but has chosen not to because the longer she works and not gets the benefits, the higher they will be. She is full retirement age. So the problem here is he's struggling to get by on minimal amount because half of his Social Security is being taken and directly paid for alimony to a wife who really doesn't need it. So that's, really problematic that the judges don't have time to do the plenary hearings. So there are some, the fact is any kind of delay in justice is a denial of justice. And in the meantime, people's legal fees run up, and they just, there's no win. And, of course, you can't blame the court because the judge can only handle as many cases as possible. So in my case, it had been, we were just waiting, and we get day after day after day. Well, guess what? My guest for this afternoon has just come in, and a little late, but why don't we take a few minutes, and this is John Manfredo, who's here early for the sports guys, a little late for the law, but we're going to talk about some...
Good afternoon, Pat. I do apologize, but I did have a couple of good tidbits to bring to the table today.
Good.
First of all, as you know, as I'm admiring your wonderful Blackhawks shirt, really, really pretty logo, claimed to be the most beautiful logo of all in the NHL, and a team that's won 3 Stanley Cups in the last 6 years, but they just lost twice to the Devils in the last 10 days. But I digress.
Yes, you do, since we're not quite with the sports guys yet.
But I couldn't resist looking at that beautiful Blackhawk logo. Anyway, Pat, what I wanted to tell you about is something that our listeners need to be concerned about. Two things that has come up in the estate planning and estate administration area. And that has to do with not only the amount of assets that you have, because everybody's always concerned about the New Jersey estate tax, which we know has only a $675,000 exemption, but it's the type of assets that you have. You can have $10 million, but if it's all in a brokerage account with publicly traded stocks, well, there's no question about valuation. And there may be a tax payable, but at least there are no valuation issues. But I've got two really nasty fights going on with New Jersey right now. The inheritance tax branch has taken the position that a certain small farm owned by my client, which is really a woodlot, it's really not producing much at all, but it's about 100 acres, but it's also in a preserved area. They're valuing it at a significant amount of money, so we're now in a valuation battle with them because they're valuing it as a farm, and there is some potential to produce income there. They believe on the open market this preserved farm could be sold for well over $1 million. We're saying we don't think it's worth $200,000. So we're spending a lot of time, and of course my client is spending a lot of money, on legal and accounting fees to wage this battle. It's a valuation battle.
And I think what you have to explain is if it's a preserved farm, they can only sell it as a farm. In other words,
correct.
They cannot sell it.
Correct.
So anybody would say, wow, I wish I had 100 acres,
yeah, but
and I'd sell it to a developer.
Exactly right.
In this case,
exactly right. But here's the difference here. Here there's a beekeeping operation. There's a bunch of different small, almost you might say profit centers located on the property, very cleverly done. which fit within the preservation restrictions. But again, the bottom line, without getting into the details, is we're now in an evaluation fight with the New Jersey Inheritance Tax Branch. The second issue, and these are for your closely held business owners, we had a situation where my client was a 50% owner of a viable business, very viable business, which we conceded was worth several million dollars. When we got to the bargaining table, his partner, with whom he did not have a buy-sell agreement, refused to pay full fair market value for the decedent's interest. Okay? Now, we thought the property, the business in this case, was worth about $3 million. So we said, give us $1.5 million. He said, no, I don't think it's worth that. And even if it is, I'm not willing to pay that. So here's what happened. And it isn't just that we got rooked at the bargaining table because we didn't have a whole lot of choices. We had to sell to this one guy. Nobody in the open public would buy it. You know, these valuations, they talk about valuation discounts for lack of marketability, right, and so forth, are very real. Because we wound up settling for closer to $1 million. He said, well, I know it might be worth $1.5 million. I'm going to give you $1 million. That's all I can afford. Depends on what I want to pay. Okay. If you think that's the end of the story and that's the bad news, that's not it. My clients, who are the children of this deceased business owner, accepted that deal, and we went forward. We amended our death tax return because we had filed and we estimated the value was worth $3 million and the decedent's half worth $1.5 million. And we amended to say, well, this is all we got for the sale. And it was a fairly short period of time. I mean, you still have to go by a date of death value, but it was an estimate because we had no real market. So if you do it within like 6 months, they will usually, when you sell something within 6 months, the inheritance tax branch will accept that. Well, in this case, they came back, and not only did they not accept the $1 million value or the $1.5 million that we had estimated, but they wanted us to send 5 years' worth of financial statements and bank statements and so forth so that they could compute the value themselves. So when I got this letter, I called the auditor and I said, gee, I'm the attorney for the estate, and we settled on $1 million. That's all we got. Now, I understand we initially filed the return. We put down what we felt was a good faith $1.5 million, but we got sandbagged. The other guy wouldn't give us this much money. So I guess we were wrong. It wasn't worth $1.5 million. So I said, why are you asking us for valuation statements, financial statements and so forth? He said, because we're going to do our own internal valuation. And if we think the business is worth $5 million, we're going to tax you on $2.5 million, which is half the fair market value of the property. I said, but how can you do that? He said, well, your deal with the surviving owner is not binding on us for New Jersey estate tax purposes. So, where do we go with this? We've got two situations in which we were as honest as the day is long. And a lot of people think that estate lawyers are revered because of their magical abilities to hide assets and discount. And that's not true at all. I tell people, you tell the truth. You put down the fair market value, you pay your tax, and you go home. All right? But now we have a situation where we're doing that, and the inheritance tax branch is saying, no, it's worth a whole lot more. So what we're strongly advocating, it's another example of where if you are a business owner, you must have a buy-sell agreement.
I was going to say,
because the buy-sell will be binding for estate tax purposes. Absolutely.
Let's say, even if it was a buy-sell between relatives, I mean, will they look into it at all?
No. That's a different story. When you have family involved, it's a much more difficult way to do it. But in my situation I described here, the parties weren't related. They were business partners for 20 years. They were friends, but they weren't related. And it became a nickel dime thing. I mean, the other guy, not only weren't they friendly, but the other guy said, I know it's worth $1.5 million, but I'm only going to give you a million. And I know I'm screwing the kids out of $500,000, but that's it. That's all I'm willing to do. He didn't care.
Well, but also.
So we're not talking about